So I went basically from a Monday thinking I would never leave San Francisco and telling myself, I am not an entrepreneur. I do not have an entrepreneurial mindset. I don't know how to do business development, to on Wednesday saying, we're packing up, we're moving to the mountains. Oh yeah, and I'm starting my own agency.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Hustle to Freedom podcast, where I show you that you don't have to be a natural born entrepreneur to build a business that gives you time freedom, location freedom, and financial freedom. My name is Ryan Helms, and in just 27 months, I paid off over $209,000 in debt, quit my 9-to-5 job, and started building my dream business that scaled to six figures of income in less than 6 months. And on this podcast, I'll be sharing exactly how I did it and bring on some awesome guests that are either doing it or have already done the same thing. So if you're a freedom chaser and you want to fast track that process, this is the podcast for you. And also, be sure to head over to gritandhustle.co to grab your free copy of the Side Hustle Journal. But for now, let's hop in to today's episode. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Hustle to Freedom podcast. As usual, I have an awesome guest for you guys today. Ms. Heather Hawkins is sitting down with me to chat about her transition from the corporate world into focusing on a side hustle in the PR space. So welcome to the podcast, Heather. First off, why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey and kind of how you got to where you're at?
Yeah. So let's see. Not to go too far back, but when I graduated from college, I had one goal. That goal was to be famous. I had absolutely no skills whatsoever that would portend fame. Could not sing, could not dance, anything along those lines. And so I went into radio originally. I was about probably a year into a commercial radio career when my mentor pulled me aside and said, you know, there's never going to be money in radio unless you really stick it out and kind of hit the upper echelons of it. And so I stumbled into an agency in San Francisco that was looking for somebody that knew a lot about radio. And it turns out that that was the PR agency for Sega, the video game company. And I knew nothing about PR, but I ended up really falling in love with it, and liking the strategy piece of it and liking the fact that I could kind of itch that same thing by interacting with media. You know, I got to be on MTV, I got to be on CNN, I got to do all these things. So I formed a career in video games originally, did the launch of Sega Dreamcast. Moved to New York City, worked in the music industry for a bit, moved back to San Francisco. And as all good San Franciscans must, I spent time in technology. And then I eventually transitioned into the human performance space. And about 2 years ago, I packed up my bags from San Francisco, only ever having lived in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and New York City, and moved to the hills outside of Truckee to kind of start the next phase of my journey.
Awesome. So I kind of want to dive into that transition from the corporate world into kind of what we'll get into is now your business. How did you set yourself up for that? Probably both, like, how did you prepare like mentally, and also how did you prepare from like a financial standpoint to make?
Oh, wow. So I didn't, you know. It's interesting. I at the point that I made the jump, I had just come back from maternity leave with my youngest daughter, who's turning 4 in January. And two of our biggest clients had recently left. And I was basically told that I needed to build a huge amount for me of new business for the agency. I didn't have a pipeline. I hadn't been doing business development. I had been doing client services. You know, I was putting in 50 plus billable hours a week, making clients really, really happy, but I hadn't been doing business development. And I was faced with a decision of, can I stick with this niche that I love? So my niche is human performance. I do transformative technology. performance nutrition, gear training, stuff like that. That's where I geek out in that client services setting. And so I was faced with this decision of what kind of a job would I need to have to stay in San Francisco. It is so expensive to live there. And so I was looking at, do I try to build all this business I need to build for this agency? Do I look at going in-house somewhere? And all the jobs were like worldwide head of, you know, communications for these C round angel funded third whatever startups. I would be on a plane all the time. I had two young kids. And so I went basically from a Monday thinking I would never leave San Francisco and telling myself, I am not an entrepreneur. I do not have an entrepreneurial mindset. I don't know how to do business development, to on Wednesday saying, we're packing up, we're moving to the mountains. Oh yeah, and I'm starting my own agency. and just
what happened between Monday and Wednesday?
I crunched the numbers. You know, Tim Ferriss talks about that concept of geo-arbitrage and those places that we say, you know, we had always said, maybe one day we'll be able to have a second home in Tahoe and we'll be able to go up there on the weekends. Meanwhile, we're paying all this money in rent in San Francisco and all this money in childcare in San Francisco. And what's the school system look like? And when we really crunch the numbers on what does it look like legitimately to live in this area, we realize, hey, we can buy a house within a year. We can send our kids to these public schools that are awesome. It is so much less expensive to live here and run a business from here than it is to have stayed in San Francisco. I mean, literally, we cut our out-of-pocket on only rent and only childcare by more than $4,000 a month by moving up here. Wow. Which gave me the ability to take some chances and to figure out how to run a business. So, I mean, I flew by the seat of my pants and my network that I had built over the 20 plus years. But as far as planning, no, I did not plan. But sometimes, you know, the universe hands us the best opportunities. You know, when the time is right, the time is right. And I'm so, so glad that I made the change. And sure, it's had its ups and downs. And I've had, you know, pivots and learning opportunities and all those things that we talk about. But at the end of the day, it was the right move, whether I was particularly prepared for it or not.
Nice. So you talked there, or you mentioned there, pivot. So what did you, when you first moved up to where you're living now and you're like, all right, I'm starting a business. Like, how has what you kind of, when you first opened your computer that first day and were like, here's what I'm doing, how has that changed from what you're doing right now?
So I've branched out in a couple of ways. The core of what I do on the agency side. So it's funny, when I was first talking to you, I'm like, I'm kind of a side hustler who side hustled myself like three or four times. So it's like, I'm my own boss, side hustling off my own thing. But so when I first moved up here, I started an agency model providing done for you services for clients in the human performance space. And what I do is I help people with brand strategy. So figuring out who they are, what they serve, how that's going to play in the market, you know, and importantly, what media do they need to reach in order to reach the people, right, that they need to reach. So Done For You Agency Services was 100% of what I launched with. And I grew that really nicely. I mean, I grew to the point where I was 100%, you know, assigned. My time was 100% taken. And I couldn't have scaled without hiring employees and doing things like that. I had a virtual assistant that was working with me. And I made probably the biggest mistake that I ever made, which was I was fully saturated with only two clients. And in an agency setting, in a service business setting, you do not want one client to be taking up more than, say, 20% of your monthly income, much less 50%.
Right.
And for completely different reasons, both of those clients in the same month and without notice went away. And then it's like, whoo, I was a year into my business And I thought, you know, whenever people said it's going to take a couple of years to figure out your business, I was like, y'all's crazy, because I got mine figured out in 6 months. And, you know, a little bit of hubris probably would have served me well. But basically, they both went away and left me with a great opportunity to revisit what I was doing. And at that same time, I really had this understanding and this realization that I was crossing paths in the human performance space with all sorts of service providers, solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, you know, little guys, single ladies, people doing awesome things, but who could never ever afford to have an agency. And I found myself talking to them and really becoming cognizant of all these myths that the PR industrial complex, as I sometimes call it, has perpetrated among solo business owners and among entrepreneurs to make them think that media visibility, that getting into their onto their local news, that getting into their local newspapers, that getting into national publications, national broadcasts, is out of reach for them if they don't have the money to invest in an agency. So at that point, I spent a lot of time developing educational materials, starting to coach, starting to talk to entrepreneurs about how they can do their own PR. So that's been a big part of my journey over this past year. And it's really, you know, it's a smaller part of my total day plate, but it's something that I absolutely love doing, because that first time somebody gets into a newspaper and that newspaper is repeating back to them who they are, right? Quote unquote, that brand that they've developed, you know, whatever it is that they have an expertise in, there's a magic that happens that helps that person see, oh my goodness, I am actually a leading expert in XYZ, or I am actually the most well-respected whatever in my area. And so I truly believe that getting media visibility for yourself, the work that you put into it, is something that serves your business in multiple ways beyond just doing the visibility. So right now I have several clients on the agency side right now. And then I also have kind of a cadre of, I call them media mavericks, who are out there getting their own media publicity. And I help them through coaching and education and really encouragement and telling them media wants to talk to you. If you do it right, they have to talk to you in order to do their job.
So when you talk about like PR and media, like what type of media are these people getting featured in that you're working with?
Yeah. So I specialize in earned media visibility, and I feel like earned media is really important.
Can you also explain what earned is?
Yeah, for sure. And some of the differences. So a lot of people out there who want to talk to you about getting media visibility, they talk about something called a bylined article or a submitted article strategy, which is where you sit down and you write an article and you submit it, say, to entrepreneur.com or Fast Company. There's actually a group of these publications, and you usually see them in concert on the bottom of somebody's page. If they say, we've been featured in Business Insider, Entrepreneur, Fast Company, those are some of the organizations that accept a huge amount of bylined articles. That's where you write an article about something in your space, and at the bottom it says, as written by Ryan, who's an expert, right? I help people get earned media where there is a gatekeeper. So that's where you're talking to a reporter, and the reporter, who's known to the reader, who's writing for, say, Forbes every single week, includes you in their article. Or it's where you're talking to a producer for a television show who puts you on the television show, or a podcaster like yourself who puts you on their podcast, or a speaking opportunity where the conference organizer puts you on a stage. And I feel like that earned piece is important for a couple reasons. Number one, anytime that there's a gatekeeper who's saying, you deserve to be in my article or you deserve to be on my stage, there's something called a halo of endorsement that happens, where you must be a legitimate person, right? If Ryan, who I listen to every week, is having this person on the podcast, you know, you've done some screening. People trust you, right? So there's this kind of halo of trust as well that happens. And the other couple reasons really why it's hugely important is most entrepreneurs that I know don't want to take on a second job as a reporter or a podcast host or whatever. So if you go on somebody else's podcast and provide huge value, well, they're doing the production, they're doing the marketing, they have an audience that you can reach. If you get into a reporter's article, that publication is providing that to their readers. They're doing marketing. They're making sure that people are reading that versus just writing on your own blog or starting your own podcast. It's a great way to kind of shortcut and get eyeballs, especially outside of your existing network.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I personally, some of the publications like Forbes and Fast Company, I kind of lost some, I guess, credibility is the right word in my eyes when I found out a bunch of people that I've met have like bought their way into those publications.
Yeah.
We were at an event, I think this was earlier this year, and one of our friends, he like the day before, he had just paid like $10,000 to be featured in like five of those publications.
And
he just submits like this little article and they write about him, and I was just like, well, that's not, I mean, it's cool because you can put it on your website, I guess, but
yeah. But you know, I am of the opinion that it's just as easy to get there, quote unquote, the right way. And here's the thing, if you develop a relationship with the media in your space, the media that covers specific niches are often the most knowledgeable and passionate pundit about that space. So if you form that relationship over a course of time, right, presumably you're going to be working in the same industry if you had the passion to create a business in this industry. And if it gets to be a year down the line and this person now knows who you are and you reach out and you say, hey, Martha, I had this idea. I wonder if you've heard of anybody else that's thinking of doing this, or we're thinking about expanding into this. What's the word on the street? These people will absolutely, I mean, they love this stuff. They don't write about this stuff for a living just because it happens to be whatever they, you know, the assignment editor gave them, right? They usually end up developing an expertise. And if they switch publications, they usually end up writing about the same area of expertise as they move along, and everybody talks to them, right? So if you're that person who's providing value and being a human, not just trying to get the article, they are more than willing to provide some business insight that you just can't get if you're just turning out content. There are just huge, huge benefits to taking a relationship approach to it.
And what's one or two of the big benefits for somebody out here who, you know, they have a side hustle, they have, I don't know, maybe it's a, they've got an e-commerce business, or maybe they've got, I don't know, whatever it is, like what's the big value in them investing either money and hiring someone, or time and taking a do-it-yourself approach into PR?
Yeah. So number one, so if you are that e-commerce person, I believe that the thing, even if you're an MLM person, honestly, the thing that's going to set you aside from everybody else who's selling presumably the same thing, similar thing, is going to be developing a personal brand. So you want to be the person who's not just selling the thing, but has an opinion about the thing or is relatable to people. So developing personal brand is something that media can help you do, that helps you stand head and shoulders above other people. Being on podcasts is a great way to do that. But again, it has to be telling your story, talking about your personal brand, not I'm here to sell you Rodan and Fields, because that's not going to fly, right? So personal brand, which has all sorts of places where it can help you out in business. And then the second one is lead generation, traffic. So in June, I set a goal of booking myself to be on 5 podcasts per week. And being a guest on podcasts, if you can provide value, is an epic way to just bring people into your universe, bring new people into your universe, get them into Facebook groups, provide them value. It is probably one of the best ways to do that. And then obviously traffic, if you are getting yourself into those kinds of situations where a link is provided or link makes sense. If yeah. you're a product entrepreneur, getting into reviews roundups and things like that is going to get you really far. So it really is about reputation on one side and connections, traffic, awareness. You know, I'm tiptoeing around it because as a 23-year PR professional, we always, always, always say PR is not a direct line to sales. It's about all these other things that impact sales. But if you want to get people coming into your universe, it's a great way to do it.
And regarding the kind of reputation, personal brand side of it that you just went over, what is the most, in present time, 2019, what is the most impactful form of PR?
The most impactful form of PR.
So you talked about a couple. You talked about like newspapers, these online yeah. articles, podcasts,
yeah.
Probably like TV interviews, stuff like that.
So I would say it's opportunities like this one. I mean, podcasts are a great way for people to get to know, like, and trust you. And this is especially, I'm talking to that single solo business owner. I'm talking to that person who's not. So I spent, you know, 8 or 9 years working with Clif Bar, right? Clif Bar has completely different goals in their PR. They have completely different metrics for success than perhaps a solo service provider might, right? So with Clif Bar, you want to remain always top of mind. You want to make sure that you're pretty much everywhere so that when somebody's in line at the grocery store and they get presented with options and they need to make a choice, you know, whoever they heard from, you know, in the right way the most often is likely to be who's going to win at the checkout counter, right? So it's with them, it's about scale and it's about, you know, tying to a lifestyle and all this kind of stuff. With a solo business owner, somebody is going to come to you because they know, like, and trust you. And that's where these more long form opportunities, where you're really telling a personal story and people feel like they align to you, they feel like they trust you, they feel like, oh, you know, this person has been where I have been. Or, you know, even if it's something like choosing a house cleaning service, it's, you know, I know Susan. I know Susan's story. I understand she's part of this community. I see her around. Like, anything that you can do from a PR perspective to help people know that you are human, I believe, is really the thing that's going to pay the biggest dividends for people right now.
That's awesome. And for someone that's interested in kind of PR, what you have going on, they feel like it could help them with their side hustle. Like, how can they find you, and how can they expect you to help them when they find you?
Yeah. So the best place for people to find me would be heatherhawkins.live is my URL. And I have a free video course on that website that walks you through kind of the foundations of what you need to do to get started doing your own PR. So really, you know, if I just were to break it down into buckets of what somebody needs to do, number one is you need to get incredibly clear about who you're serving and what problem you're solving for them. So I know that we always hear when we're starting businesses that we need to define this. And when people come my way, I find that they usually say, I know I need to define my avatar, but let me tell you why I don't have an avatar. You know, let me tell you why I'm different from every other business owner that has. No, you're not different. You need to define an avatar, because knowing specifically who you serve and what problems you solve for them is going to help you as you think through, where does this specific person go looking for answers to this problem that I can help them with? And what that's going to do for you is remove a whole lot of pressure, because everyone who is serving women thinks that they need to get into Oprah magazine, everyone who is serving entrepreneurs thinks that they need to be in entrepreneur.com. We talked about why that's not really where you need to be already. Or the Wall Street Journal or Fast Company, and you don't. Because when you really, really focus on your avatar, you're going to realize that they have places that they go where they're looking for information that you can provide for them that are going to be much, much easier to get into, where people show up, you know, pen in hand. I talk about podcasts all the time. Actually, I have a really great story I'll tell in just a second, but I talk about podcasts all the time and how impactful they can be. And so people think like, okay, how do I get on Tim Ferriss? Or, you know, how do I get onto Joe Rogan? But I find that people are almost, it's almost inverse to size of the podcast, how engaged and ready to take action people are. So I started out my, you know, podcast journey way back when, listening to Tim Ferriss, and way back when, maybe every 4 episodes or something, I would take an action. I would follow somebody. I would buy a book. I would do something. As he's gotten bigger, I find that I don't go there anymore really looking to take an action. You know, I kind of just go there to listen. But then I have this slew of business podcasts that I listen to that are smaller, more targeted, more specific to me. And I take action probably 50% of the time. So knowing your avatar and getting really specific about it is going to help you craft a better story, but it's also going to take some of that pressure off. So if you've got Oprah on your list, like, let's dive into that avatar girl, because ain't nobody really needs to spend all their time trying to get on Oprah. Perfect example from one of my clients. I placed them in an article in the Associated Press that was the dream article. Like, there was no journalistic skepticism. They didn't even mention a competitor. It was a fluff piece. I was like, what was going on in the newsroom that like they let you actually write this? But it was a dream piece, right? That same week, I placed them on a brand new podcast. I think it had like 4 or 5 episodes under its belt. It was so small that the CEO was like, I don't think this is worth my time. So we had to spin it to him that it was a warm-up podcast, right? It was just practice. You know, it's just practice, Phil. Like, don't worry about it. Off of that podcast, they got 3 hot new business leads, 2 of which closed within 30 days to the tune of $230,000 of recurring annual revenue. They were a really high-end sports tech company that was selling into like pro sports teams and front office. Associated Press article got him a lot of pats on the back from people that he already knew, lots of thumbs ups on LinkedIn. Everybody within his universe already, though. And most of the eyeballs on it honestly came from the company itself sharing it. So they didn't really get a whole lot of new people into their universe from that one. But that podcast like moved the needle for them in an insane way. So that's just a real lesson, I think, for all of us, that when you're figuring out who you need to be talking to, where you want to be talking to them, do not saddle yourself with thinking that you got to get onto Good Morning America. There are smaller, easier places for you to be where you can, again, get to know, like, and trust and have that kind of halo of endorsement of a blogger or podcaster or somebody smaller that people really trust.
Yeah, for sure. I had a guy on my podcast. This was probably about a year ago now. And we were talking kind of before the interview started. And he said that he was just getting into, like, I think he'd been doing it for like 2 months at this point. He was just starting to kind of make his rounds and get on podcasts and things like that. And he was in sales and he had a high ticket sales program where they basically bolted on to other companies and ran their sales departments for them. And like their entry package was like, I think it's like 17K, like 15 or 17K. And he said that like the past like 3 or 4 podcasts that he'd done, he'd got clients from each one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I watch as I'm on podcasts, I watch my mailing list numbers tick up. Sometimes I look at my mailing list numbers and I go, oh, a podcast I was on must have run. But more than that, I get people just hitting me up on Facebook Messenger saying, hey, I heard you on this podcast. This thing that you said resonated with me. Let's chat. People come in engaged. They come in already knowing what you're about. So it's not like you're starting at the very beginning, because again, I think so much of it goes back to just knowing and liking and trusting people. So I think, you know, for that solo business owner, if you can craft a story that is going to be of value, that's the number one thing you have to keep in mind for podcasts. You have got to be of value. If you're not pitching yourself to be a guest on podcasts, I think you're really missing out. I mean, gosh, the other day I saw some stat about there have been 30 million podcast episodes released to date, I think. And this was like an older number. 30 million with the lion's share of those having guests on, it becomes really difficult to find good guests. And with a little coaching and a little help with your story, you know, if you are in the business of providing value already, there's a way to package up that value.
Yep, for 100%. I mean, in our agency, we don't do guest booking as like a standalone service, but we bundle it into offers with our clients. Because I don't even know if I mentioned this to you beforehand, but my business is we have a podcast agency, so we do a lot of production. We do a lot of social media management, like YouTube, all that kind of stuff, all kind of the whole ecosystem of podcasts. And we kind of bundle that in there, and our clients get so much value and exposure from getting on other podcasts. And we use that as a tool for them to get more sales, right? Whether it's a no-no to say that in the PR world or not. And we also use it to grow their podcast, because we always frame it as the easiest way or the easiest person to convert to your podcast is somebody that's already listening to a podcast. And they all get so much value. They love going on these other shows because they can directly see that correlation. So yeah, I agree. I don't really think it matters who you are and like how big your niche is. Like there's probably a podcast out there that talks about exactly what you're the expert in.
Oh, for sure. And you know, it just blows my mind. On some of these podcasts, find a guest, source a guest, whatever, Facebook groups, there are people that are like, I have a podcast. It's got thousands of listeners. It's been going for years and years. Anybody want to be a guest? And people are like, and he's like, I don't know. I basically just talk to interesting people. And I'm like, does it feed your business? No. I just really love podcasting. I was like, and you just randomly talk to people. I need to start listening to these people just randomly talking to people with
no rhyme or reason.
With no rhyme or reason, because I could be hecka down with that. I don't know if it would be a valuable use of my time, but there are podcasts for literally everything. Yeah.
So kind of rewinding back a bit, what was the biggest challenge for you going from that corporate world to being a entrepreneur, being a business owner? Because I just made that pivot at this point a month and a half ago. So I know some of the things that, you know, the challenges I've had and the differences that I've seen, but I'm wondering like, what did you see? So someone that's kind of has that transition on the horizon or desires that transition, can you give them a little insight into how that pivot was?
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I can order these in any kind of a cogent way. Maybe I'll just list them off. You know, the number one thing about becoming an entrepreneur is, you know, there is no air cover. So whatever job you're in corporate America, even if it's like each individual has their own area of expertise, there is still air cover, right? If something goes wrong, if something needs fixed, if something needs done, if a client is unhappy, it all ultimately comes back to you. So it requires an ability, I think it's Marie Forleo who uses the phrase, everything is figure outable. Like you have to learn a little bit of accounting. You need to learn a little bit of web development. You need to learn a little bit of probably email ad philosophy. You probably need to learn a little bit of PR. You need to figure out customer service, like all these things. And then really, even though ultimately the goal is to get to where you can hand some of that stuff off, you need to be able to hand it off with a base of knowledge. So I had earlier this year, I hired somebody to build a funnel for me as an example. And I didn't know enough about funnels to know how to guide the project, to know how to get out of the person's way, to know how to do all these things. So I was applying my background of PR to this completely different thing, right? So I can sell a Clif Bar to people by the billions, literally. But when it comes to one-on-one sales, you have to do it completely differently, right? When we communicate in PR, we have to use factually accurate ways of stating a benefit. We can't say, it's going to change your life. Is your life hurt today? You know, your life is not going to hurt tomorrow. Like, you can't put that on a press release, but that's what people have been trained, or what psychology has figured out that people want in an ad is, or on a web landing page or something like that. So that was really hard for me to understand, what can I hand off and how much do I need to know in order to hand it off? Where can I get out of my own way? And then another big piece of it is just, I found myself, yes, I moved to the mountains because I love being in the mountains with my dog and all of that, but I also found myself really craving that community and the group think and the everybody working together that you get in an office. So I have all sorts of, like, some might call them crazy things that I do now. Like, I walk into my office downstairs, literally right there, and, you know, I act like I'm walking into an office every morning. I open the door, I say, hey, everybody, you know, we're gonna have a great day today. I turn on the lights, you know, I put on some music. So it's like I had to put that vibe in. And then importantly, I also had to start getting out in my community more. So I'm right up the hill from Reno. I started spending some time in the Reno startup community, even though none of those people would ever necessarily be a client. I mean, one or two of them might end up being, but, you know, just being out there, shaking hands, meeting people, remembering how to talk to adult humans. So I'm not talking to 3-year-olds, 6-year-olds in a schnoodle all day long. And then I also started doing consulting with the Small Business Administration up here. So the Small Business Administration, you guys, if you have one near you, I believe it's a nationwide network, federally funded program. They provide free training and resources and counseling on everything from finding investors to creating a business plan to learning how to run QuickBooks. And I consult with the one up here in Tahoe, Truckee, helping people with brand strategy, helping people start doing their own PR, helping people with pitch decks. So we have lots of pitch showcases and things like that that happen up here. But it was just important for me, I think, to have that human connection. Even if it wasn't necessarily, quote unquote, feeding the bottom line, it was important for me to reintroduce that into my life.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that you said there that kind of I've definitely noticed is the fact that, like, you're sitting, you're alone a lot of the time. Like, previously, like in a company, it's, you know, there's always somebody, whether you think they're aggravating you or not, or distracting you, like, there's always, like, that human element around you, like that kind of energy around you of other people. But, like, there's nobody in my condo right now. It's like, it's just me, and that's how it is. Until, like, when my wife leaves, till she gets home, it's like completely quiet. And I mean, we've got a team of like 9 now. So, I mean, we're always chatting on like Slack and stuff like that, but it's still not the same as having like somebody like you could like reach over and touch if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Like, it definitely can play like some mental tricks on you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, when things start to go quote unquote wrong, I don't really believe in that. I just kind of think everything's data, but when things start to go wrong, not having somebody that you can pull into a room and be like, oh my God, this client is crazy. Or, oh my goodness, what's going on? Why isn't this thing working? And, you know, I don't want to say there's a lot of passing the buck in corporate America, but I feel like there are always places where you can kind of duck and cover if you have to.
100%. And
there's not really that when it's really only just you.
Yeah, everything is out in the open and there's no real hiding, especially like when if you're doing probably less than $1 million a year, like, you're still in the grand scheme of things considered a relatively small business, and like, you can run that with a relatively small team, and thus, like, you could be doing a lot of revenue and still have a lot on your shoulders, and not, you can't really hide any of that stuff. At the end of the day, it's like your fault. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, so that's a big thing that you, if you kind of want to take this leap and you want to kind of go all in on your side hustle, like you have to be ready for that responsibility and the, I guess the stress that can come with knowing that whether it's you that screwed something up or somebody else on your team that screwed it up, at the end of the day, it's your responsibility and it all falls on you.
Yeah. So when I was hiring my virtual assistant, who it's amusing to me, she lives 0.75 of a mile away from me. But we saw each other at school pickups the other day, but we only have seen each other like twice in a business setting. So she might as well be, she could be anywhere really. Right. So that goes back to that geo arbitrage thing. But, oh gosh, where was I going with that?
While you're trying to figure that out, how did you randomly find her or did you know she was that close to you?
Oh, actually, I remember the story now. So I put a post on one of the local mamas groups and I said, hey, I'm looking to hire a virtual assistant. I would really love, you know, to help somebody else who did something similar to me out. Is there anybody out there who has this specific set of skills, this specific specialty? And she had actually been in a corporate role at Specialized Bicycles, which is one of the biggest bike component manufacturers and sellers. And so I basically met her through that mama's group. So I didn't even go through your traditional VA, kind of circles to find her. The thing I was going back to was I have never felt such fear in my heart as when I was first talking to her and she said, okay, can you let me know if we'll be getting started on Monday? Because I have to put in my notice at my other, and I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, do not put in notice on my behalf. like, do not, I am not ready for any, I'm not ready to be responsible for anyone's like well-being at all. You know, I have two kids, but they'll be fine on their own. Like, but I don't want to be responsible for somebody else's outcomes. So that part was just, you know, absolutely terrifying when she said that.
Yeah. I was just talking interview I did with a gentleman named Preddy. We were talking about this the other day and I said to him that to me, it's one of the most gratifying things that I found in this journey so far is the fact that you can like help other people out through your business, right? You can give them a means to support their family and provide for their family. I just think it's super awesome. It's like, I mean, and it's even more awesome the fact that like all you need is a laptop to start a business and you can like hire people all over the world and they're awesome and you can help support their family. It's super cool.
Yeah. I had a VA for a while who was based in Armenia. I believe she was based in Armenia. And, you know, I had been working with her. I know you're not supposed to do this, but I think I found her through Fiverr or something and then reconnected with her after our initial project. And so we ended up working one-on-one solo. And it was the holiday season. So I sent her a holiday bonus and I got this. She's like, oh my God, like, do you even know? Like, I didn't realize that apparently I had given her a bonus that was basically like half a year's salary or something. She sent me all these pictures of like her kids, like Christmas tree and like all the gifts that they were able to get like grandma something and do some work on her house and like all this kind of stuff. And it's like, I know that it gets a bad rap sometimes that moving money out or, you know, not keeping the money in the US or whatever, but that the fact that I got to connect with her, I got to get to know her and her family. I got to have like a huge impact, like just that impact on one person's life was so amazing. And the scale, I think made a piece of that possible. So it was a good experience for me.
Yeah, for sure. So let's wrap things up here. And if you can, well, first off, thanks so much for coming on and kind of giving us some insight into the PR world and kind of where people can get started in that journey to kind of help set themselves up as that authority in their space and build that personal brand and start to create some traffic to whatever it is that they're building on the side. Where can people find out? Can you remind us about working with you and learn more about you?
Yeah. So the best place to start is at heatherhawkins.live. And that website will give you the option of getting my, like I said, my free video e-course on how to start doing your own PR. And that is going to invite you to join my free Facebook group, which is another great place to get connected. It's called Media Mavericks. And if you're active on Facebook, you can also just look up Heather Hawkins Biz on Facebook. And again, you guys, if you want to drop me a message on Messenger, if you want to chat with what's going on with on your business, Facebook is a great way to just reach out and get in touch with me. I'm always happy to talk to people and provide any pointers as far as really crystallizing your brand as much for eventual media outreach as just for you, because I think that doing this work helps you see the path of your business. It gives you a GPS of your business, makes you fall in love with your business a little bit more sometimes when an outsider gives you the playback or plays back what they're seeing in your business. So those are all great ways to get in touch with me.
Awesome. And for you guys listening right now, I'll link all that up in the show notes below as well. So if you didn't catch that, just scroll down, open the show notes section on your podcast app, and you'll see the links there. So Heather, I want to thank you again so much for coming on, chatting with myself and the Hustle Freedom audience. It's been awesome, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much.
And that's a wrap. I hope you all enjoyed that episode. Remember, you can find links to everything we discussed in the show notes below. And if you like this podcast and want me to keep bringing you great episodes each week, here are a few ways you can support the Hustle to Freedom podcast. First, take a screenshot of the podcast and send it to a friend who may like it. Second, I'm doing a drawing for a free copy of the Side Hustle Journal for every 5 iTunes reviews I receive. So, if you want a chance to win, leave a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcast and send me an email at hello@gritandhustle.co. Detailed instructions on how to do this are in the show notes below. Third, take your side hustle to the next level by implementing a sales funnel to turn your passive website visitors into paying customers with ClickFunnels, the number one sales funnel software in the world. You can get a free trial by going to gritandhustle.co/profit. And fourth, if you're interested in podcasting also, which is the fastest growing content medium in the world, head over to gritandhustle.co/podcastingmadeeasy to enroll in my course now. Until next time, keep hustling, my friends.